All right, Alexander, let's talk about Macron. And he gave an interview about, I don't know, 4 or 5 days ago in the Parisien, Le Parisien, I believe is the name of the paper. And he said, he basically said the quiet part out loud, where he's going to get people jabbed up by pissing them off. That's the strategy. Piss everybody off that hasn't submitted to his mandates. And that's how he's going to get them to submit, by making life difficult for them. And what did we see over the weekend? Well, we saw 400, 500,000 people in France, from all over France, pour out onto the streets. And they were furious with Macron's comments. And we also saw a lot of the candidates for the elections. And I believe the elections are in April. I believe I'm not mistaken, or April. A lot of his candidates seize on Macron's gaffe. And it was a terrible gaffe for him to make, to call your own citizens. I think he called them non-citizens at one point, and to say that he's going to make life difficult for them. What a despicable thing for a president to say of his own people. It shows the utter contempt that he has for the people. But Le Pen jumped on it. Eric Zemmour jumped on it. Mélenchon jumped. They all just jumped on it and they seized the opportunity. What's going on here? What do you make of this this big, big error on
Macron's Well, part? Again, one gets the sense that Macron, when things start to look like they're a bit better for him, he goes and ruins it by an extraordinary display of vanity, arrogance, and overconfidence. Now, at the moment, he's seen the right split between Le Pen and Zemmour, so that has enabled him to build a lead. He's not yet getting much of a challenge from Mélenchon. And in the meantime, Pécresse, this centrist, right-of-centre candidate, she's looking as if she's going to start. She's already fading. So he seems to have said to himself, well, I'm strong and safe. I'm once again, you know, poll favourite to win in April, because my opposition is either divided or is unconvincing. And so this is my opportunity once again to show to the French people and the world what a strong, decisive leader I am, how I don't take nonsense from anybody, and I'm going to do that by insulting half the French. I mean, it's just an extraordinary way of behaving. I mean, it reminds me of that famous story about Marie Antoinette, who supposedly said, you know, if they can't eat bread, then let them eat cake. Except, of course, she never said it. But I mean, you know, here we have Macron. If there is a revolution in France over the next few months, which I hope not, by the way, or if there is, you know, a landslide in April sweeping Macron away, which is quite possible, I suspect, you know, I piss them off is going to become as famous in French history as let them eat cake. Because it is on the same level of crassness. Except, of course, as I said, Marie Antoinette never actually said it. Whereas Macron not only said it, he seems to have reveled in doing so. It's an unbelievable thing for someone to say on the eve of an election. Especially, by the way, for the president of France to say on the eve of an election. Remember, he's not the opposition. He's not leading the opposition. Well, you know, you can accept that an opposition candidate is, you know, allowed a certain greater degree of discretion in some of the language he or she can use. He is the president of France. He's the president of the Republic. He is supposed to represent all French people. And here we see that instead of representing all French people, he says that he's going to piss off some of them and calls into question where some of them even have the right to consider themselves citizens. I mean, that's outrageous language. And I would have thought politically foolish language as well.
Yeah, he doesn't particularly like a certain segment of the French people. That's for damn sure. But who's going to sweep Macron out of power at this point, though? Eric Zemmour, just a quick update. Eric Zemmour did come out with a statement just the other day, and he's pushing very hard to gather the conservative right vote to shore that up, because he said that presidential hopeful says no politically correct propaganda in schools. Eric Zemmour said on Monday that over the past 40 years, our children have been indoctrinated. And he's going to roll back, he said, a lot of the indoctrination in schools all throughout France. So, I mean, Zemmour is definitely trying to solidify that conservative right vote. But who's in a position to move Macron out of office?
This is, I'm afraid, the point of uncertainty. As I said, Pécresse, who some people thought was going to break through, well, not only is she looking increasingly lackluster, but I think she's becoming increasingly exposed as more of the same. In other words, somebody who talks right-wing themes sometimes, or anti-establishment themes, but who ultimately sounds a lot like Macron, and who, if she were to become president, would continue basically where Macron has has stopped. She would continue all of that, perhaps with some smoother edges. So she's, I think, ultimately failing to make a big impact. And even if she did make an impact, as I said, it would just be more of the same. Mélenchon, who leads the left used to be a giant political force in France. Remember, the very expression "the left" originated in France. It comes from the French Revolution, where at the Estates General, the king sat on the right and the Third Estate sat on the left. So they were referred to as the left, and that stuck, and it's come to define a certain political tradition ever since. So that's the left, but the French left has never looked weaker at any time since the French Revolution. And Mélenchon himself, I have to say, doesn't come across as an entirely convincing candidate. He's a brilliant orator, but one with, I think, all kinds of political baggage and ideas and views about identity politics and all that sort of thing, which is losing him support. Zemmour is a brilliant orator, but he doesn't have the organisation that a strong party would provide him. He doesn't have that grassroots organisation across France, which, you know, is needed sometimes to bring out the votes. And besides, I think a lot of people are a bit sceptical of somebody who's appeared on the scene so recently. And Le Pen does have the organisation, but as we've said in previous programmes, she spends so much time over the course of the summer, and indeed before that, trying to make herself respectable to the French elite, that the result was that she lost her radical edge and saw a lot of her support drift to Zemmour. So this is the problem. You have a political opposition to Macron, each and every part of which criticises aspects of Macronism. Just to give another example, a short time ago, there was a scandal in France when, alongside the French tricolour, the French national flag, the flag of the EU was placed on the Arc de Triomphe. I mean, this was all done because Macron is now not just, you know, president of France. He is the great high leader of the European Union because it's France's turn to chair all the committees. So this is all about, you know, Macron being, you know, the leader of Europe. So he put the EU flag on the Arc de Triomphe. Now, that is an incredibly crass thing to do. It provoked a massive reaction. Every one of the candidates that we've talked about, Mélenchon, Pécresse, Zemmour, Le Pen, they all criticised it. He had to take it down because the reaction was so strong. But, again, the result was that instead of one leader coming together, bringing together all of these various things, we have a divided opposition, not all of which looks particularly convincing. In the case of Pécresse, there's a suspicion that she's not the real opposition at all anyway. And it's not clear yet who's going to break through. I have to say that for the moment, it's clear that this election is going to be won on the right. I mean, that's clearly the drift in French politics at the moment. There's a sort of patriotic mood in France. There's a Eurosceptic mood in France. Even Pécresse has had to adjust to it. And logically, given that Le Pen has burned herself out, that ought to mean that Zemmour is in pole position. But Zemmour, as I said, is so recent, such a recent phenomenon, and is so fragile in terms of his grassroots support, that one does have to wonder whether he does in the end have the organisational and political weight to break through. We'll just have to see.
God, if Le Pen just didn't make that terrible decision to try and appeal to the EU kleptocrats and the oligarchs, if she just didn't go that route, she would be in pole position. But could you have a Macron winning by this type of just too many candidates in the mix, and Macron just kind of pulls out ahead by default? You know, everything's so diluted that Macron is just kind of strolls into office, even though no one wants him. No one wants him there, but just kind of, you know, ends up in there.
I mean, this is the thing. I mean, he would be elected president by default because everybody else is either unconvincing or has cancelled they've cancelled each other out. And I'm afraid that's a distinct possibility. Always remember that elections in France are extremely managed affairs. I mean, there's always the political class is always extremely effective in trying to limit as far as possible the list of options that the French people would be represented with. So that also, I think, plays in his favour, because ultimately, with Pécresse fading, he looks like the establishment candidate. So it's quite possible that he will, you know, cut through. Not even though, as you rightly say, the reality is that, to use his own words, he has pissed off everybody, pretty much everybody, even many people who would support him on some of the policies that he's been following, including some of his coup policies, don't like the kind of language he's been using. So it's possible that he could win by default, even though, as I said, nobody likes him, because the field is so wide, the field of his opponents is so wide, and none of them, by him or herself, is fully convincing. And you're absolutely right. The reason this has happened is because Le Pen, who a year ago was in an extremely strong position, took the disastrous decision, as she thought, of trying to, as she thought, broaden her base by diluting her policies. And all that managed to do was, of course, it persuaded many of her core supporters that she wasn't real. And it also made her opponents see her as somebody who was weak. So instead of actually broadening her base, it shrunk it. And because her electoral support shrunk, that opened the space for people like Zemmour and Pécresse to emerge. I still have to say, I still think you can't completely write her off. I think there's a fair chance that simply because she has the organisation, she's going to be able to bring out enough votes to get into the second round. But the big question then is whether once she's got into the second round, enough people will support her against Macron. And about that now, I'm not sure.
Well, can't she, you've got till April, can't she somehow win that support back? Is there a way for her to say, you know what, we took a bad strategic decision. We want to go back to this conservative, rebel, anti-EU, anti-establishment type of base, instead of trying to be more center, which I think that was her goal. I think she wanted to move more to the center, and it completely backfired on her because she probably saw the center as meaning pro-EU, pro-oligarch, pro-neoliberal, and I think that was a big miscalculation. Is there a way she can go back to that previous stance?
I think a really brilliant politician could do it, but I don't think she's that good, to be straightforward about it. And I think the problem is that if she tries to do it now, it will seem like she's chasing Zemmour. And that's the problem. I mean, Zemmour comes across as more genuine about all of these things than Le Pen does. And instead of leading, she will seem like she's following. And the risk she runs is if she tries to reposition herself on the harder right, all that she will actually do is lend more credibility to Zemmour, who people will say, well, you see, Le Pen admits that she was wrong. She admits that Zemmour was right. So why don't we just vote for Zemmour? Because he's more consistent in these things. And he's obviously right, because even Le Pen admits as much. So it's something that could have been turned a few months ago. I think it's now going to be very difficult to do. A really brilliant politician, a de Gaulle or somebody like that, might have done it. I think that Le Pen, frankly, increasingly doesn't look like that sort of person. But, you know, we mustn't discount her. She does have an organisation. France is an extremely sophisticated society. I get the sense that the French are becoming increasingly exasperated with Macron himself. This event will have made them even more exasperated. It's entirely possible with a society as sophisticated as this that they will say to each other, you know, messages get passed, not just via social media, but France in the, you know, the small towns, the villages, those sort of places, people meet, people talk things over, people discuss things. They do this sort of thing in France. Outside Paris, they do this kind of thing a lot. And they will say, well, look, Zemmour is perhaps the one we like best. Mélenchon, he's got some nice things, but, you know, overall, he's not the kind of person we want, because he has too much of the AOC about him, to say it straightforwardly. So ultimately, we've got to get rid of Macron, and Le Pen is the only person who's able to do it, and to do it convincingly. So it's not impossible that in this very sophisticated society, that's what's going to happen. We'll just have to see.
I will say this, a final note, when it comes to all the globalist Klaus Schwab crony Build Back Better politicians out there, or leaders out there, Macron is the one that literally tells you exactly what he's going to do to your country. I mean, he is not hiding anything. He's saying, I'm going to piss them off. I'm going to put an EU flag on the Arc. I mean, if they vote him in, then there's no complaints. You know exactly what you're going to get from this guy. He is not hiding one little bit of his agenda.
Not one. And can I just say, I think in that one respect, that probably helps him. Precisely because with Macron, you know what you're getting. I mean, you get what you see, basically. There isn't perhaps that sense with Macron that this is a fundamentally deceitful person who says one thing and does the and is going to do something else. I think, for example, in the case of Pécresse, that's exactly how many people, French people, feel about her. They feel that she's not really real. She talks in a more patriotic way, but nobody really believes that she thinks it. And given a choice between Pécresse and Macron, if it ever comes to that, I suspect that many people in France would actually opt for Macron, simply because, as I said, he's straightforward about what he is. And that's always more attractive than somebody who is basically lying to you.
Yeah. It's terrifying, but at least you know what it is. It's the devil you know.
Absolutely. The thing I would say about Macron, and I think this is a thing to say about him, is that he's all mouth, in my opinion. I mean, well, he's mostly mouth. I mean, he says lots of things, but his execution is never up to the level of what he's of what he says. So, you know, he likes to claim that he's Jupiter or Napoleon or Louis XIV or Charles de Gaulle or whatever, but always and invariably, in the end, his grand projects never get fulfilled in quite the way that he expects them to. So, you know, it might not be quite as bad if he's re-elected as it looks, because, though, as you rightly said, you get what you get, what's on the tin, essentially, with Macron, or at least you will this time. It may be that when you open the tin, you find that it's 2/3 empty.
Yeah, he's definitely incompetent, but, you know, they're all incompetent, and that's what, you know, the EU wants as well. They want guys that are incompetent. They don't want them to be too good at what they do.
Well, this is another major
problem. That's what makes Macron so dangerous.
This is another major problem, actually, because if we're talking about sheer competence, ability to run a government, to be straightforward about it, I don't think anybody has run France since the 1970s who looked like they knew how to do it. Chirac, who was the president some years ago, was a man of genuine managerial skills, but he had been, you know, prime minister and mayor of Paris, and he'd held various important positions in earlier French governments. But even he, I thought, was a more insubstantial man in the end than, you know, the old sort of war horses that used to surround de Gaulle in the old days. And Mitterrand also, you know, sly character, perhaps not such a great manager, but he knew something of what he was doing. But today, to be honest, none of these people really looks to me as if they could be particularly good and strong managers and administrators. Certainly Macron isn't one, despite the fact that he is an anarch, a technocrat, despite the fact that he graduated from all these elite schools, even though he pretended at one point that he hadn't. So he doesn't have that kind of managerial heft. And given that France looks like it's heading towards extremely rocky economic short, you know, seas, I mean, debt levels in France are now rising to very, very dangerous levels. And that comes on top of enormous underlying problems within the French economy. You probably need a strong manager. And I have to say, none of these people, not Macron, obviously, not Pécresse, not Mélenchon, not Le Pen, certainly not Zemmour, none of them look like they're that kind of manager, somebody prepared to work 15 hours a day to get everything right and to, you know, to get a grasp of the detail and to get all the people across the various departments of France to actually work as a team and to work in harness and to achieve the necessary things. So that's a major concern. But, you know, one has what one has. And I would say that it does seem to me that there's some candidates that are less bad than others. Not a very wonderful thing to say, but I think a true one.
All right. We will leave it there and continue to follow this story. TheDuran.locals.com. Everybody, Odyssey, BitChute, Rumble, and Super U. You will find our videos there and go to the Duran shop. 10% off when you use the code GOODDAY, as is on that mug right there. All right. Take care, everybody.